I'd like to share a few scriptures that have been a blessing to us, and I hope it will be a blessing to all of us today. I'd like to look at Genesis, the 21st chapter. And you remember, God had promised Abraham a son, and that son was a long time coming. And I believe Sarah came up with the idea that they would use Hagar, that she could marry Abraham and they would have a son that way. But that's really not what God's promise was. And we know that caused some difficulty and problems. And I'd like to get Genesis, the 21st chapter, and the 12th verse. It said, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water." The Septuagint says a skin of water. That was a bottle in the Old Testament. "And gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed, and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept." Now, this is quite a picture. Thank you. This is quite a picture of... This was a hard thing for Abraham to do. And before this, the Lord told Abraham, said, "Let it not be hard for thee." But this was his son. And this was Hagar, Sarah's bondservant, bondmaid. And here she went out into the wilderness by herself with her son. And it said, and the water was spent. I mean, it was gone. She was out of water. Her bottle of water was gone. And she lifted up her voice and wept. And she set her child at a distance so she wouldn't hear. It says to see the death of the child. She was in a pretty difficult place. I think all of us would probably be weeping. That was very, very hard. It was hard for Abraham. Hard. The whole thing was a hard deal. But what I want us to get is verse 17. It said, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar?" Now, I remember reading this passage before and being really amused that the angel asked the question, "What ails thee?" the bottle, she was in the wilderness. Here was her son. They were at no water, out in the wilderness. And the angel said, "What ails thee?" Until just a few days ago. The scripture came to my mind where Jesus talked about angels and he said, "Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." The angel saw God's bounty. He saw God. He saw God's bounty. And to him, it's like, what's the big deal? What's the problem? What is ailing you? Well, we know from the human standpoint, you know what her ailment would be. But God asked her, what does ail thee? And I'd like to ask us that this morning. If we have an ail, what does ail us? What bothers us? What are some of those things that we are really concerned about? What are those worries or anxieties? You know, most of the time it's because we're not really beholding the greatness and the majesty of God. We're so affected so many times by just our human, what we can see with our natural eyes. We're so affected by that. Now this scripture, it goes on, and the angel, he said, "What aileth thee, Hagar?" And I kind of wondered what her what her response would have been. But the angel went on and said, "Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." Now listen to this, verse 19. "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." Now the Septuagint says a well of springing water. So I kind of picture this in my mind. Brother Dwayne's got some springs at his place. It just kind of, it's nothing, I don't think, it just really gushes up. But it's just a oozing out of the ground. It's usually cool. It's usually refreshing. But it said God opened her eyes. I'm sure the angel saw it all the time. The angel was right there. And he said, "You know, what's ailing you? Here's your need. Here's water." You know, the Lord's that way with us today. God has things in place. He has things to help us. And we may not see it at the time. We may not see it with our natural eyes. But the Lord can open our eyes up too when we call upon the Lord and seek God. The Lord can open our eyes up and there'll be something there to sustain us, to help us, to keep us alive. Spiritually, to give us strength. So the things that ail us too, we want to be able to bring those to God that trouble us and ask the Lord, "Lord, we need some help here." And the Lord is able to open our eyes. He's able to work things out for us. I want to get now the scripture in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And this was where the king of Syria was fighting against the king of Israel. And everywhere the king of Syria went, Israel was already there waiting on him. And so he thought he had a traitor in his camp. And so he began to question who's leaking information to the king of Israel. Because I believe it was three different times he went and they were already there waiting for him. But 2 Kings 6 and verse 12, he said, "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.' And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" Here the servant, they're surrounded. They're encompassed by the Syrian military. And his servant looked and saw that, and he said, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" In verse 16 he said, "And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" Now, do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that there's more on God's side than there is more on the enemy's side? In verse 17 it said, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Elisha was in good hands. There was a heavenly host that was behind him, backing him. And I think it probably gave the young man courage and strength. "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, 'Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." So that chariot host smote the Syrians with blindness where they couldn't see. And the king of Israel wanted to, this is his opportunity. He wanted to pounce on him, but Elisha said no. He said, "The Lord's taken them captive, you feed them. You feed them." And they led him back home. They took him back. And it said, after that it said, the host of Syria came no more unto the camp of Israel. That was quite a lesson, wasn't it? They came no more unto the camp. They realized they didn't want to fool with God's people anymore. They realized that that was a fruitless cause. But you know, I wanted to bring these two thoughts out because so many times we're affected by the natural things that we see so many times. And we fail to believe and trust and recognize that there's more to God than what our finite minds can take in. Here was a whole host of chariots, of fiery chariots that was round about Elisha for his protection and for his good. And I believe, what's that verse say? It talks about the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. Round about those that fear him. Those that reverence God, those that are serving God, those that are have given their hearts and lives, it says the angel of the Lord encampeth about them to deliver them, to help them, to watch over them. And I believe the Lord is the same today, and He can help us. And so I ask us that question, what ails us? What are the things that we get perplexed and get troubled about? You know, we can bring those things to God this morning in prayer. Another scripture is Luke, the 10th chapter. This is one of my... I like this scripture a lot. Luke 10 and verse 38. I guess I like it because it shows our humanity. Verse 38, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Now, this word careful is not the good kind of careful that we like to hear about. This careful, actually, in the Diaglot, it says it uses the word anxious. Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So here Martha was busy, she was encumbered. And I noticed that too, that many times we get... It's easy for us as humans to get attracted to physical, earthly things. We get over-involved. We get over-encumbered with earthly cares, earthly responsibilities, earthly duties. And it can cause anxiety and anxiousness in us. Now, the definition for anxiousness says, characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or brooding. Characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or brooding about some contingency. Uneasiness of mind. Brooding about something that's ahead or something that's in front of us. Fear about some contingency. Worried, an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs as sweating, tension, increased pulse. Sound familiar? Oh. But he said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath not chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I really appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning, because I feel like it really fits in here in this lesson about being able to come before God and give Him, share with Him our cares, our concerns, the things that bother us. He knows it already anyway, doesn't He? But it helps us, I feel like, to verbalize those things, so we recognize also, and I believe we can bring those things to the Lord in prayer. Those things that trouble us, those things that bother us. the things that are causing our pulse to increase and sweatiness and uneasiness of mind, we can bring those before God. But he said, one thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part. Now what did Mary do? She had taken time. Here was an opportunity to sit down and hear Jesus Christ. Hear him speak. And she was sitting and listening to what the Lord had to say. And the thing that gets me is, Martha, Martha, you know, Mary wasn't really the trouble. Mary wasn't the problem. Jesus said, sometimes we like to think, well, it's that person is the problem or this person is the problem. Not to say that they can ever be a problem, but many times the real problem is down in our own heart and our own bosom. Sometimes the problem is in our own heart, and yet we're able to say, you know, like Mary, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? But Mary took time to sit down and listen to the words of Jesus. And I think about, you know, how important and valuable it is to be able to take the word of the Lord and to read and to pray and to read and ask God to speak. To speak to our heart. To speak His words. And I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice from the Lord in my life. But I notice as I read the Scriptures and I begin to meditate and think about them, the Holy Spirit will come, and it's just like opening my eyes and I see that well of that spring of water. That was what I needed. But we've got to take the time to pray, time to reflect and think about the Word and ask the Lord to reveal that Word to our hearts and to our lives. And I believe God does that as we read the Scriptures, as we study the Scriptures. If we have a desiring heart, an honest heart, and we want to know God and we're studying and reading the Scriptures, something is going to start burning inside. Something's going to start happening with that word that we're taking in. That's God's voice speaking to us. That's the Holy Spirit enlightening or opening our eyes that we can see what God has for us. And the Lord is able to do that for us. And Mary had taken time. And I don't know, when I picture Mary, I think of her being quiet and sitting there and enjoying what the Lord had to say. And here's someone else that was just struggling and striving and, you know, trying to make things happen and trying to... Which would we rather be? You know, if we put the Lord first, I believe the Lord works for us and helps us. If we put Him first, if we take the time, the Lord will help us and bless us. I want to get another part of that definition. It said, worried and abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs as sweating, tension, increased pulse. It says also, by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. You know, the enemy, I've seen the enemy work so many times. When something happens, an occasion happens, it's just like the devil's right there to blow things out of proportion, make it a huge insurmountable mountain, make it something that's totally impossible. But you know, the Lord can make things possible. He can enable us. He can help us. If we'll reach out to Him and pray and seek Him, He can help us in all of those things. 1 Peter 1 Peter 5, verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Not like that. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, the Lord cares about each one of us. He knows. You know, I was thinking earlier, I don't know, one of the songs stuck my mind, but you know how you've had a hard day's work and you're just tired and you're ready for the shower and bed and it feels so good. It feels so good to go lay your head down and just rest from the toils of the day. And I thought, you know, the Lord, he sees when we're sleeping. I don't know if some of us might snore, some of us not snore, but he sees us while we're sleeping. He sees us when we rise up. He sees us when we're going about our day. He's looking down and he sees what's going on in our life. He knows our age. He knows our ability. He knows our lack ability. He knows us all together. One place he said that the hairs of your head are numbered. The hairs of your head, the number of your hair is numbered. That boggles my mind. The Lord could give us a little computer readout. Brother Gary, Brother Galen, Brother Phil. So many numbers. He knows that. He knows us minutely. And the Scripture says He cares about us. He cares about the things that touch our life. He's concerned about those things. And we want to be able to cast our care. And I, you know, just like going in there to go into sleep, laying your head on your bed and resting from a hard day's work. It's kind of like that when you give your burden over to God. When you cast your care upon the Lord, it's just like, I can rest. I can manage. I can make it. When we cast our... There's a rest. He talked about there belongs, remaineth a rest to the people of God. It's when we believe and trust and allow Him to be our helper and our friend. Also that scripture, this scripture here, casting all your care upon Him. Now this care, I looked it up and it has to do with the word distraction. Distraction. There are things, cares are things that distract our mind, distract our attention from God and being able to be blessed by Him. But there are things that distract us or pull away. And so we want to be able to cast our care upon Him, for He cares. He cares for us. And I'm thankful today He does that. So if we have things that ail us today, we're human and we're all going to be ailed by something sometime or another. But we have an avenue today that, you know, Hagar, she felt hopeless. She felt the end was there. She felt like there was no future. It was gone. Her future was perishing right before her eyes. But God opened her eyes. And I'm thankful today the Lord still can do that for us. He can open our eyes when it looks like we're at an end, so to speak. He can open up and show us a little stream of water. She went and filled her bottle up with, and it gave him strength. And it gave him courage and hope. You know, the Lord wants to give us hope. He wants to give us inner courage, inner strength to continue on and be faithful to Him. And I don't know. I just wanted to mention just a little bit about different things we can bring to God. Our besetting sins. The Scripture, one place He said, "I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ." If we've had a sin or sins that have kept us from being what God wants us to be, that's what we can bring to God. The Lord knows about it already anyway, but we can bring that to God. "Lord, you know, I've had trouble with this." And the Lord can help us. I thought about relationships that are not what they should be. You know, we can bring those. That's a care. We can bring those to God. "Lord, help us in our relationships." Physical needs, spiritual needs. We can bring, and I believe the Lord wants us to be, you know, someone that you're close to, that you're really close to, you're able to share. You're able to share with them and your secrets or your struggles or your heart because you trust them. And the Lord wants to be that way with us. He wants to be that confidant that we can share all the things that affect us and trouble us and bother us. He wants us to be able to bring them to Him and ask, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I better this situation? How can I overcome a besetting sin? How can I serve better? How can I..." Just different things. God wants us to be open, and we can just bring those to Him. And He can help us. He can, as we sit at His feet, we listen and we read the Word, the Lord can address. I don't know how many times I've read chapters and I've been praying about something, and then all of a sudden it's just like, my eyes are open. That's the Lord. It's just like, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt the answer in my heart. I felt the Lord, that's it. That's what I needed. And the Lord, that's God. And He wants to do that for all of us. Jesus, one place, then He said that the Holy Spirit would bring things to your remembrance. I believe the Holy Spirit, that's what He does. He brings things to our minds that help us to understand what God is wanting to say and wanting to teach us. So let's be encouraged today, if we have any ills, to be able to cast our care, our burden, whatever it might be, upon God. And the Lord will sustain us. You know, I believe this. I believe that life is bigger than we are. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how smart, how intelligent, how strong-willed. Life is bigger than we are. But it's not bigger than God. It's not mightier than Him. There's more on our side than on the enemy's side today. And Lord, help us today to be reminded and encouraged in those things that God has proven Himself faithful to us time and time again. Appreciate your attention this morning.